Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we consider this passage together this morning? Sorry if I mess up the order of worship and all that. You're going to see, I intend to, in some sense, give you a way that I minister in the Army. The preaching is different. Not that this is a different message, but the context in which we preach and the context in which we minister is much, much different than what we find in our normal OPC churches. And so hopefully the Lord will bless you through this. As we consider together 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 21. Hear now the reading of God's matchless word. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. And as we consider this morning how God's mercy and grace drives us through his grace. Something happens to me every time the Army moves me to a new place. I get a new office. I have new people I have to work with. I have to learn the mission of a whole new command and figure out how I'm going to get in there and minister to the people of that command. One of the other things that is quite frustrating to me, because I'm not real techno-savvy, is I'll be working with a whole new section of the internet security people that watch all the government computers. We are being attacked daily. Cyber attacks and all these things. And so we have specialized training on how to use the computers right and how to do things the way you're supposed to. Well, the thing that frustrates me now is when I show up in the morning to do my work, and unfortunately most of it's done on emails these days. Person's right next in the office right next to you, and you get an email from them. So we need our computers to do a lot of this work. Well, when I show up in the morning, I got to reboot the thing because they push down updates somehow. I don't know how they do this, but they push updates down, and now the computer has to reboot, and it takes 5 minutes for the thing to go through its system and actually reboot. Why do they have to do that? Something in the program needed to be updated. You get these updates for the securities, updates for this, updates for that. I wonder if what God is telling us in this passage this morning is that in a sense, we are receiving updates. We are being pushed the latest details in the flow of God's grace. And you know how that is? Every morning when we get up and we see a new day has appeared, we go to the Scriptures and we remember this is the day the Lord has made. And we remember that He has called us to feed upon the Word of God daily. And when we read the Bible, God is updating our spirits. God is updating how we look at the world. He is reminding us of His perfect law. And when we measure our lives in light of that perfect law, I don't know about you, but I need to be rebooted. And what God's grace is doing in this for us is absolutely incredible. Think about this. What I was focusing on mainly in this message is verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Well, I don't know about you, but I find in my life many times as I'm looking at how I'm really living and paying attention to the conversations that I have with people, I find myself many times having to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Or I find myself being checked by the Spirit of God saying, you know what, that really was selfish the way you said that. I'm constantly finding that, you know, even though we study, we read, we can sing the hymns, we find ourselves still as beggars before God and His table for mercy. But we also find something that God has promised to us that will never change. He said, therefore what? If anyone is in Christ, what happens? He has become a new creation. We know that the Scriptures tell us that Christ was the firstborn of the new creation, right? We know the Scriptures tell us that also Christ is seen as the second Adam. The beginning of this new creation is all in Christ in what He has done for us. And what He has done for us is He has changed our position with God. Notice what He said. He says He's not counting our trespasses against us. This is the doctrine of justification, that God has declared that we are righteous in His sight. Why? Because we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, He says, we have died with Him. Oh, I don't know about you, but I think, well, now wait a minute. If I really died with Him, then why is it I keep going back and doing those things that I know I should not do? I do things in my life that God is checking me on and saying, wait a minute, that was not loving. That was not merciful. You should rephrase that. Use different words as you talk to people about that. God is constantly rebooting, updating us. And so what I find here is the Apostle Paul is showing us something very particular about what Christ is doing in our lives and how He wants to use us and what is actually happening in God's mercy in our lives. Let's look at this. He's saying, therefore, which obviously is pointing back to something that Paul had said before. There is an argument that's running through the whole book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And this argument, there's some fascinating things that Paul is pointing out here. Notice at the beginning of chapter 5, he says, for we know that if the tent which is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. I don't know about you, but I can agree with Paul. Isn't it interesting? He calls this body that we live in a tent. And then what does he say is being prepared for us? When we put away these tents, he says, we are going to be in the mansion that God is building for us. So he's comparing the earthly experience that we have with the reality of the heavenly. And the same thing is true where he says if we are in Christ, our earthly experience of being in Christ is different than we're going to have in our heavenly experience with Christ. I know we hear this all the time. We are living in the now, but the not yet. This is what Paul's struggling with. This is what he's teaching us here. Is what does it mean for us to now live in the grace of God, enjoy the pleasure of God's mercy and grace in our lives? If the earthly tent, he says, we're groaning to get rid of these earthly bodies, that we may have what God has prepared for us in heaven. You notice how it's always greater in heaven? Why is the earthly one called a tent? And now when we're in heaven, what is it? It is a mansion. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples, if it were not so, I would not have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I will go and prepare a place for you. So the heavenly realm is always greater. It's bigger. And we see the same thing the Apostle Paul says. What? He says, we've become new in Christ. We've become a new creation in Christ. What does it tell us about the heavenly realm? He says, you're going to have a new name. He says, you're going to be in a new place. He says that not only that, we are going to have a new body where there will be no sorrow, no pain, no more of what we know of in the earthly realm, that will be gone in the heavenly realm. So the thing is, how can we live in the reality of this grace now? If we go back in Corinthians, Paul is talking about God's mercy that is being displayed to us. And he's talking about, look at verse 6 of chapter 4. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He had earlier said that if the old reality of God's mercy and grace to us was glorious, for when he gave the law, he says, it was glorious. Remember how the glory of God shone through Moses? When he met with God and God was telling him and speaking to him about his law, remember what happened? Moses had to put a veil over his face so that the people wouldn't see the glory fade away. Now Paul tells us that the reality of what we have in Christ, he says, it is even more glorious than that. Because we are looking into the face of Christ. Because we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now notice how Paul introduces this to us. This comes to us, he says, this glory, this light, the wonder of God's grace and mercy comes to us in the Spirit. Oh, let's pay attention to this. Because that's telling us something about the reality that we have here. Not only is it called a tent, what was the tabernacle? Tabernacle was a tent, wasn't it, that they picked up and they moved? And that was God's meeting place for his people. That is where they found the presence and the glory of God. And that was only because there was blood that was sacrificed. There was animals that sacrificed, and the mercy seat was covered with blood. Therefore, God could endure having people who were sinners come before him to worship because of the blood of the sacrifice. Now he says, the heavenly has become a reality in our lives. Because where does the Spirit dwell? He says, you've become a new creation. Now, he says, the Spirit is dwelling in you. And as the Spirit is dwelling in you, what happens? When the heavenly invades the earthly, the glory spills out. What happens? Look at what Paul says. In the latter part of chapter 5, he says, not only are we become a new creation, not only have the old things passed away, he says, all of this is from God, who through Christ has reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, dear people, do you understand what glory that is? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So now, as this new creation comes into the world that does not recognize God and does not want God, what happens? The glory of Christ spills out. Watch how this happens. Didn't the writer of the Hebrews, remember in chapter 12, he says, pursue peace with all men. And then he said, pursue peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now watch this. He says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and thereby it many have become defiled. What's he saying? He's saying if you let the root of bitterness work in your life, he says many are defiled by that. Now, what did he say? He said, pursue peace with all men. And he says, what? Without this grace of holiness, we obtain the grace of God in this way, where God comes to us, reveals to us how much he loves us and what Christ has done for us. Then what happens? We become ministers of reconciliation. What does that mean? Well, wives, have you had an argument with your husband? He's telling you, be a minister of reconciliation. Children, have you had a disagreement with your parents? Are you feeling upset about something? What does he say? He's saying, you have become a minister of reconciliation. What is that? When there's something that occurs in a relationship, in a marriage even, and you have an argument, what happens? There is separation, right? There's alienation. Have you ever had an argument with somebody and you feel like, oh, we get over that? Well, sometimes guys can do that, right? Just give me another high five and we get over it real quickly. Some people can't do that. And there becomes an offense. And that offense begins to grow in their hearts and in their souls. And then the writer of the Hebrews says, they become infected with a root of bitterness. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that not only are we become a new creation, but as the heavenly becomes a reality in our lives and in this world, he says we become a minister of reconciliation. How does that happen? The love of God is applied, and God's grace is applied in our lives and in our hearts. Didn't he say, as we were taught the Lord's Prayer, he says at the end of that, don't we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive, what, our debtors? That is, those who debt against us, right? We forgive. That's a part of the Lord's Prayer. But then notice what he says at the end of that. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Interesting. He is saying when the reality of the heavenly takes over your life, you become a minister of reconciliation. What is that? Part of that is we no longer hold offenses. We forgive. We learn that when we forgive and we extend the grace of God as God has extended it to us, guess what happens? Relationships are mended. Things become transformed. And the glory of God begins to shine out. Oh, I could tell you story after story. Tonight I'll show you some pictures of some of these. One young man came to me. And he said, "Chaplain, I need your help. What's up? How can I help you?" He says, "My wife has bought a plane ticket to go live with her boyfriend in Hawaii, and he's going to leave. She's going to leave me with the 3 kids. One of the kids was a teenager who tried to kill himself. His life was so terrible, and he was in such turmoil because there was no peace in the home and in the family. I can report today that family was reconciled with Christ and with one another. And they worshiped together today." That was 10 years ago. God's grace has changed the landscape of their hearts and of their families, and they became ministers of reconciliation and forgave. This is grace working. This is grace coming into this world and spilling out where Christ is glorified. In Matthew 18, he says, and remember when Jesus told the parable of the master who had a slave, he owed some things, and the other slave owed other things, and the one man didn't forgive, and he wanted to get it all. And remember what Christ said to him? He said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now listen to this. Jesus said, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." Isn't that what Paul is saying? He's saying that we have become so changed because of that reconciliation that Christ has brought us into relationship with God. We are forgiven. We become a new creation. We are a new person. We become, remember what John says? We become born again. I think many times that's totally misunderstood today. Is that means, oh, I went to an altar call or I had some kind of experience. Well, fine, if that's how it happens. But what happens is the reality of the heavenly becomes a reality for us in our lives today. And we become changed. We become transformed. And as God is transforming us, then what happens? He uses us to take the gospel of Christ out into the world and into our families. Didn't Paul say, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but what? It is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live," he says, "I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then Paul, notice what he says in Galatians 2. He says, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." So Paul is saying, when the heavenly intrudes our lives and our hearts become changed and we are being transformed by the Spirit of God working with power, how does he work? He works through the living Word of God. He applies it to our lives, to our hearts. Then what happens? He says the grace of God is changing us to become more and more after the image of Christ. He's changing us to be more like Christ, to have Christ-like attitude, to have the love of Christ flowing out of our hearts to others. And yet we know as well that this can only be the grace of God, because if God were counting our trespasses and treating us in that way, I don't know about you, but I would find myself in deep trouble, because God is holy, God is pure, His word never changes, His law is sure. And if He is counting our trespasses against us, dear people, we are in trouble. But notice what he says. That in Christ, God is reconciling us. God is making the relationship with himself right. How? Because in Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we are forgiven. The blood of Christ that was shed upon the cross forgives our sins. We know this in the past, the sins that we have now, and the sins in the future. What? All are forgiven by the blood of Christ. Yes, we know that, but do we live that way? He's saying, not only does he not count our trespasses, but now he wants us to become ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? Well, we know an ambassador represents the king or the country where he's coming from. He represents them and he speaks for them, right? He wants us to become ambassadors for Christ in this fallen world. And where God is making his appeal through us, Paul is actually saying that this is almost fearful for him because God is speaking through him and God is using him as his ambassador so that the message that Paul is speaking is not Paul's, it is God speaking through him. And guess what? That's what we have the privilege of doing. As we live in a fallen world, God wants to use you as his ambassador to be a minister of reconciliation, to bring people in right relationship with God. And sometimes that is a very simple word. You know, God loves you. May God bless you today. In treating people in some simple way, and where the heavenly now is intruding their hearts and their lives and causing them to desire Christ, who for our sake made him to become sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's the new life that we have. It is in Christ. It is in Christ now the righteousness of God becomes a reality for us. Because we know it's not because we are crawling on our knees, not because we're doing penance, but because by faith we are coming and looking to Christ and thanking God for that mercy that is ours in Christ day by day. And the Apostle Paul wrestled with this. Remember what he said in Romans 7? He says, oh, the evil that is within me. I try to stop doing what I don't want to do. And I try to do what is right. And Paul says, oh, who is going to set me free for such a wretched man I am? Paul was struggling within his soul because he knew how perfect the law of God was and what God was calling him to live in. But then he found in the reality of his earthly life that he still struggled with it. Do you ever find that? Do you ever find you need to be rebooted? You need to have updates put into you. Well, God does that for you every day as you look at his word. And of course, we know that this is what we call the means of grace. We make use of the means of grace. And so every Sunday when you come to worship and you hear the word of God proclaimed, you are participating in the means of grace. And God is using that where the heavenly is coming a reality in the earthly realm. The Spirit of God is moving and working and changing us to become transformed after the image of Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? After his argument in Romans 7, he says, therefore there is now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Wow. As we struggle with the law and realize how we want and desire to obey and follow God in all ways. And just like Paul then, we find that it is only because of God's grace becoming a reality in our hearts and in our lives can we, with Paul, say, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The church that we attended in Temecula, They had a very liturgical worship. You think I'm messing your worship service up? You should see what I did there. But there was a part in the worship that I had not heard in many Protestant circles. And that is, after we would pray and confess our sins, the pastor would actually say, "I declare, therefore, you are forgiven in Christ." The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? And to hear a declaration, "You are now forgiven," every Sunday morning we are reminded. Why are we forgiven? Because he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And now, what? We live in the power of the resurrected life. That is, the Spirit indwells us. He regenerates us, and then what does he do? He makes us into a new creation. Can you imagine what it means that we have been adopted into the family of God? He has chosen to bring us into his family, and now we call him our Heavenly Father. Why? Because of God's grace that was extended to us when Christ died in our place on the cross. Does that mean we don't pay attention to sin? Does that mean we don't have to obey the law? Not at all. That is not what Paul is teaching. We look in Corinthians, and he is always saying that the law of sin and death is working in us, but it is working life in you who are experiencing the grace of God in Christ. It is working life. If our life... Here's what I struggle with. In some ways, it's like Paul is doing in Romans 7. He says, "I try to stop doing what, you know, and I can't stop it, and then I try to do what's right, and I just find myself not doing it all the time." You know what happens to us? We become performance-oriented Christians. Well, I proved to God that I loved him because I read 5 chapters a day. I'm reading the Bible so many minutes a day. I'm praying so many minutes a day. I have witnessed to this many people this week. And because of that, God's going to love me more, right? You see what happens? We become performance-oriented, and we're constantly looking at our performance and measuring our performance, maybe upon somebody else's, you know, "Oh, I can do what he does," or we're looking at Scripture and saying, "Well, okay, I'm doing that. So now God should give me the joy of the Spirit," right? Wrong. As we are part of this new creation in Christ, what does he say? It's because we are in Christ, we become a part of this new creation, and the glory of the heavenly has become a reality now in our lives and in our hearts. When what? We look at the face of Christ and the glory does not fade. We sing these hymns Sunday after Sunday. And you know what? The truth still ministers to our souls and our hearts as we are lifting our voices to God of his grace, of his mercy that he's extended to us in Christ. Oh, I love to worship. But it's not my worship that makes me worthy. It's because Christ has changed me and now I am in him. And because I am in him, the Spirit of Christ is calling each of us now to be ministers of reconciliation, to make things right. Do you have an offense that somebody has done against you, and you're holding that? The writer of the Hebrews tells us that is the root of bitterness. Forgive. Do you have something in a relationship with somebody else that you know you've offended them? Go to them and ask their forgiveness. Become a minister of reconciliation. And then the heavenly glory of this life of Christ, I guarantee you, you will see it spilling out and changing others' lives as Christ calls them, as Christ ministers to them, His love, His mercy. You will see the reality of that. Why are we doing this? Well, look at what Paul says later on in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds and to bring the ministry of Christ and His reconciliation into this world." And through that ministry of reconciliation, what does Paul say? He says, "We destroy lofty arguments and opinions that are raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ." So as the Spirit of Christ is working in our lives, the heavenly is becoming a reality in our earthly life and here and now. He says, "The grace of Christ is now working in you and through you to bring reconciliation in relationships in this world and bringing reconciliation of others to Christ." Oh, my people, how God desires for us to experience the heavenly reality of His grace in our lives. And then I was thinking as I drove over Deception Pass, looking at the current. I've been in a boat in that current, and it pulled them around. But as you look at that and think about that, that to me, that was in some ways what I was thinking as I was looking at this passage. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." All of this is from God. Here is the flow of the grace of God. And He is pulling us along in that grace through His Spirit, pointing us to the Word of God. Yes, we want to obey. Yes, we want to follow what God is calling us to as we read Scriptures. But we'll never be doing it perfectly. Therefore, we are debtors to grace. Because that calls us to look more and more to God's mercy, to God's grace, as He calls us to look to Christ and to depend upon Him. And then Paul, later on, he says that what he is doing, as he is proclaiming to them his message, he says, "I want to show you that you are a letter from Christ delivered to us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God." So what is he saying? Paul is saying that the Corinthians, as they respond to the word that he has given to them, as he is preaching Christ to them, he says they become his letter written by the Spirit of Christ on human hearts. You see, that's what he's saying, is that now we become a part of the flow of God's mercy and of God's grace in this earth, in this world today. So whatever realm God has called you to work in, He wants to use you as a minister of reconciliation to let the love of Christ flow from you, speak to others about Christ, ask the Spirit of God to give you a word in season to people. And I guarantee you, you will see it. It works. As you minister the word of Christ to others, it changes them. It is powerful. It is a living word. One of the ministries that I have to do consistently is visit the hospitals. I've been specially trained in that type of medical ministry. And what I find sometimes, well, people know who I am because I have a cross on my uniform. I'm a chaplain, and my badge says chaplain. In the military setting, people understand what that is and what that means. We represent, in some ways, in their minds and hearts, we're representing God. But when we speak to them, I turn to Scripture. I turn to the Word of God and ask them, hey, can I share some Scripture with you? And they generally say yes, and they want that. So you read Scripture to somebody who is suffering, and guess what happens? You see a smile come upon their face. They taste a touch of the mercy of God as they're being exposed to the living, written Word of God. Oh, what a privilege to be a minister of reconciliation in a lost and dying world where the Word of God has power and it works. So husbands, be a minister of reconciliation with your wives. Parents, be ministers of reconciliation with your children. And if there are areas of trouble, what do? He says, bring it to Christ. Forgive and bring it to Christ. And bring them to Christ. And what happens? The glory of grace begins to shine out. And we see that it points us to the righteousness of Christ that now has become ours. His obedience is put upon us. Our sin is put upon Him, and we become the righteous of God in Christ. Oh, enjoy the new creation. Oh, enjoy the wonder of God's grace that He calls you to live in and minister in as we pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You that You have given to us the living Word. And as we consider this morning how You use the Apostle Paul, one who was at war against You and against Christ, one who even was guilty of putting Christians to death, and You apprehended him. And Father, Your grace changed him. You made him a new creation. And then You used him as Your minister of reconciliation. And You have called us, even through him, to be ministers of reconciliation ourselves. Oh, Father, we praise You and thank You for the wonder of Your Word, for the power of Your Word, and for the reality that is ours, experiencing the new birth, knowing that the Spirit of God is living within us and speaking to us through Your Word, and using us as Your ministers in a lost and dying world. Oh, Father, may Christ be glorified more and more in and through this church. May You empower Your people to be faithful witnesses for Christ, taking the Word of God into the lost and dying world. Think even this morning, O God, of Mark, who heard the Word of God yesterday at the Daruze. Pray Your Holy Spirit would pierce his soul and You would call him to true faith and repentance in Christ. And thank You for the faithful witness of Your servant to him. We pray that all of us will be used of the Spirit of God as we interact with people You call us to day by day. Even someone who is standing in front of us in the grocery line, may we be ministers of reconciliation. Give us the Word of Christ to speak at the appropriate time, that Christ indeed will be glorified and Your church will grow as we see new converts coming to hear the Word of God and grow in their faith and grace. We pray these things in Jesus' matchless name.